Hello! And welcome to episode 33 of Modern Media Review, the podcast that carries on even when we're in different countries. Never mind different rooms. I'm Robin Gibson.
I'm Sean Gulligley.
And before we start, I'd like to say that if you find that you like what you're hearing, why not subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts?
Well, subscribe anyway. It doesn't matter if they don't like it.
Well, okay, or YouTube. Yeah. Follow us on Spotify. Like us.
Even if you hate it.
Add a comment. Leave a review even. Anything like that would be good. You can also check out our website, modernmediareview.com, and Twitter, Facebook, and all the rest of it. Anyway, on with the show. The reason I mentioned different rooms in different countries is because we've been watching The Circle, and we slightly delayed this show because we've been watching The Circle so much and waiting for a crucial moment to do it, and what a cliffhanger it left us last night when...
Absolutely superb.
Woody, son of Zoe Ball and Fatboy Slim, was made a sole secret influencer to block anyone he wants. Now, Sean, should we tell people about The Circle, or do we think they know what it is? Because we picked up on this last year.
Well, we were very early to the party. In fact, so early that no one was actually watching it.
And Modern Media Review wasn't even going. But we would have done it if we were. Brilliant show where the contestants are kept apart from each other and use a kind of social media app to communicate. And that's the only communication they have. That sums it up, doesn't it? Some of them are playing themselves and some of them are catfishing as different characters from their true character.
And we'll talk about that in a bit, because I think there's a key to catfishing.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. You can't be a catfish across the generations. There's no point some old man like Richard Madeley, who made a guest appearance, although he was quite good, pretending to be some young girl talking street and all the rest of it.
Yes, and like one of the people who's been blocked or otherwise known as ejected or evicted was someone's mum playing them.
She was spectacularly bad.
She was bad at being a lad, there's no doubt about that. I mean, one of the interesting things I thought this year is that you can bet on it this year.
Absolutely.
And last night's cliffhanger left Woody, who had previously been a sort of 7-2 second favourite, being the secret influencer who can kick someone else out. And this morning with William Hill, he's quite a hot favourite at 7-4. Now, he's displaced Tim, who's the 50-odd-year-old former monk and theology lecturer who has been favourite all the way through until now. But I don't think Tim can win this, Sean. I never have done.
No, me neither. And it's not just an ageism thing. I think that it's younger people that tend to do well in it. That they like Tim and he's a very engaging, genuine man. But I don't think he's win material. And he certainly wasn't win material at 9-4.
Well, he was 7-4 before. Now he's 9-4.
Exactly.
Also, I just think he's begun to lose sympathy because he was very complimentary to Margaret Thatcher. He's been very cuddly up until then, and then it turned out he really admired Thatcher. And last night he was banging on about...
This is just you now. This is you having fallen out with Tim.
Last night he was banging on about Princess Di and stuff. It was a bit appalling. And also, he's been a super sleuth in terms of sussing out who's catfishing and who's genuine.
Put it this way. Do you remember the character from last year, the psychic, that was on there?
Ryan the psychic, who didn't get anything right, yeah.
Basically, he would have called night following day wrong. I mean, he was extraordinarily bad.
Tim is almost psychic.
Ah.
But I think that as it goes along, if you're one of the other leading contenders, you only want to get rid of Tim, aren't you? Because you're aware that he's popular and he keeps winning the vote in the house and all that.
And don't forget, he's been an influencer, what is it, 3 times?
Yeah, influencer being someone who can kick the others out.
So if Woody was actually playing a smart game, he'd eject him tonight.
I think he will.
See, I don't. I think he's too nice, Woody.
Who's he going to eject?
I think he's going to go for Joyce, who've got to be the 2 worst catfish ever.
Joyce is 2 youngsters who... who were ejected from the game. I thought a bit unfortunately, because they'd only just joined. And then they were brought back in by public vote to play a 60-odd-year-old woman called Joyce, which they've been...
appalling at.
They've been struggling. Well, you say that, but they keep sort of getting away with it. Like, they'll make up some nonsense about only thinly correct, and somehow they just get away with it. Like last night, they said, oh, they were asked to have memories of the 70s and 80s, and said, oh, let's talk about when people used to share a phone line with their neighbour. Now,
even I didn't get that.
They got that half right, because what they meant was when, I don't know how the phones worked then, but you'd occasionally...
You have a party line.
Yeah, a party line, but you didn't actively share.
Yeah.
No, you shared it without knowing it.
No, you shared, didn't share, the, you shared number. The number. You did.
You didn't share the number. You just got somehow... Anyway, they kind of half got it right, and everyone was kind of a bit doubting face emoji, weren't they?
Yeah.
But they kind of let it go. I mean, they've got a sort of suspicions about Joyce, in inverted commas, but they were telling someone that she'd been to a festival.
Oh.
But they didn't know anyone who'd played at Reading Festival. And one of the other players, it was Woody, who's a young and pretty smart kid, actually.
Yeah.
He was asking about who Joyce had seen, and she just couldn't say anything. She kind of said, oh, I was enjoying myself too much and I didn't notice.
This is the whole problem.
And then after they stopped the conversation, one said to the other, oh, Jack, who's one half of Joyce, said to Beth, he went, oh, we should have just said someone like Roy Orbison. even I, who have trouble with who's dead and who's alive, know that Roy Orbison's been dead for about 20 years, hasn't he?
But this was the thing about catfishing. Don't do it when you've got no clue about what your subject matter is. Why would you say, oh, I'm this cool Joyce 62-year-old woman who goes to Reading festivals, when you don't even know who was playing there?
Don't forget, Sean, it wasn't their choice.
Well,
they were catapulted back into the game and told to play Joyce.
I think it's karma for that Beth anyway, because she's... What does she describe herself as? A model or something, isn't it? Or...
No, she's not a model.
Eh?
She's just got a degree.
Has she? No way. She doesn't show that. She doesn't show it in answering her questions, I'll tell you that much.
I don't think... I think you've been a bit...
I am being harsh on her. Correctly so as well, because she was the one that came in as herself, but with a different profile picture, because she always found it so difficult being so beautiful. That people only took her beauty rather than her personality on board. As soon as she didn't become an influencer first time around, she starts moaning. She goes, oh, I knew I wouldn't get any popularity votes with a face like that.
That's why we do the podcast audio only, isn't it, Sean? Because we'd have the same problem. No one would listen.
Face for radio.
No one would listen to what we said because they'd be too busy looking at us. I totally identify with Beth. I'm sympathetic to her. So... In this betting, right, I really think Tim has taken so much out of the market. He's taken a third out of the market for the whole duration of the series. You can back Ella or James, who's playing Sammy, who's meant to be a sort of young single mother with a one-year-old baby. You can back them at 5 and 6 to 1. I think they're brilliant bets.
Ella is a cracking bet. I think people have got suspicions about Sammy. He's played it very well. He's been a fantastic catfish, James, to be honest. But I think he's going to get exposed. And Ella is brilliant because she seems popular with the younger lot.
Mm.
And she's pretty smart as well. She knows how to play the game.
She's good at sussing out who might be faking it. But having said that, Sammy is playing an amazing game. Or James.
Yes.
I mean, this bloke's virtually method acting. He's put on red nail varnish. He always stands up to deliver his messages. Like, you know, that's like acting, you know.
Absolutely.
He's got a massive manual full of stuff. He sits there saying to himself, I'm a girl.
Which is slightly disturbing when you're watching a man on his own, only communicating via social media.
But that's the weird thing about this whole thing. You forget, don't you, that they are going to be going a bit barmy, because we're watching them all the time and they're discussing things through an app.
Yeah.
They're not, for these 3 weeks, they don't see anyone. They don't hear anyone else's voice except their own. The circle on their screen, the app, doesn't even have a voice.
I don't know how this would work under the European Convention, but... Surely that would come under the sort of like auspices of torture.
It's a bit torture-like, isn't it? And when they get out, they come out, don't they? And they appear in these live shows at the end of the week, and they get to see who they've been talking to, and they always get freaked out. But they do look a bit kind of shell-shocked, don't they?
Well, it looks to me like somebody that's come out of the jungle after 25 years of being lost in the jungle, like at the end of World War II, or someone that's been a prisoner in the Middle East, you know, like Terry Waite or... Someone nicer than Terry Waite, obviously, but
chained, you know, at least they're not chained to a radiator. That's a famous cliche, isn't it? You're always chained to a radiator. Now, I've always found that a bit weird. People always go, oh, they were chained to a radiator for months. How many cells have got radiators in there? What sort of prison gets central heating?
But yeah, the point is that they do come out blinking into this sort of like spotlight of their new life and not really knowing what, you know, it must be freaking them out. Very surreal. But here's the point, more to the point in terms of betting, is this show already over?
Well, yeah, it's a good question because I was on the train yesterday and we read the Sunday Mirror.
Okay, very highbrow of you.
It had a little article saying that Beth and Jack, aka Joyce, had kissed and that Woody had become the secret influencer, which is exactly what happened last night.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, A, there's a mole, and B, is this really... I mean, no one's... They're not saying it's all live. I've assumed it was filmed on the day, broadcast at 10 o'clock at night. And it is great that it's at 10 o'clock at night, because given what's going on at the moment, it's great not to have watched the 10 o'clock news for 2 weeks. It's a brilliant escapism thing.
From Brexit, yeah.
But how far in advance is it filmed if they got that info out?
You look at the weather and it doesn't look that bad, does it? You know, when they show the outside shots of the hot tub and all the rest of it.
Well, I noticed someone on Twitter saying, how are we voting on the Circle live when it was filmed in the summer? This is a conspiracy theory. Because someone else says, they're in the flats now. But it's definitely about a day behind. But obviously someone's leaking it from the TV production company.
And from a betting point of view, it'd be quite interesting if you try to lump on LSA at 5-1. They might think you're a catfish, Robin. You've got a bit of inside info.
Christmas number one territory, this, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, okay. Yeah.
William Hill are going to know that you know more than them if you try and put a couple of... Try and put a couple of grand on Ella, you know. They'll shut the book down.
You might get £2.50 on, I think.
Well, I don't think we can say that any of the... I think the outsiders are outsiders. The new girl, Jan, who's just 52-year-old, seems quite nice.
She's got no chance. Absolutely no chance.
The girl, Buseo, who's playing the bloke, Josh, I don't think she's got much chance either.
No.
Although she did throw up something interesting, because she's a black woman who's decided to play a white middle-class male because she thought that it would give her more popularity. Now, I read a very typically snide article in the Telegraph at the beginning of the series, slagging the show off and saying, the one thing to avoid at all costs, whatever nation you come from, is to be anything like me, a white middle-class male.
You're doomed, aren't you?
Instant social death.
Oh, yeah. You're doomed. I mean, you probably end up as a well-paid Telegraph journalist. I mean, God forbid.
The only thing that's putting people off Josh is that they think he's suspicious because he only talks about grime music and travelling. And they're going, oh, it's so one-dimensional. I don't know what they want him to do.
I mean, she's not researched it well at all because she gets into panic mode almost straight away when any normal question comes in.
Well, the successful ones for catfishing are the ones like Sammy / James, who've come in with a massive manual. And to be fair, so did the so-called Jay, who was played by his mum.
But LOL, Roffle... How behind the times were all her little an acronym?
It was great. Acronyms. She was going like, oh, what will I say? Ooh, all right, geese. Nah, bro. Nah, fam.
Fam.
And she made all these lads jokes that no one found funny. Someone in Gogglebox was watching it, Classic Channel 4, cross-promotion. And when they saw this Jay character played by Katie, the young guy on Gogglebox went, oh, my God, West Side. But this is what you said about the generational thing. Although it was her son she was playing and he was a real guy and he really was a builder and a geezer, she didn't know how to do it because of the generation thing. She had a big book full of all this lingo, but she was using it all wrong. And
also, don't forget, she kept doing everything in alphabetical order. Any list she had, she just went through it.
Yeah, they spotted that one straight away. But talking of spotting things, you slagged off Joyce. They have done the single best bit of sleuthing, because when everyone had to make a cake, they looked at the picture of Josh's cake close up and saw that there were big nail marks on it that must have come from manicured nails, thereby figuring out that Josh was a girl.
In fairness, I thought those two weren't the sharpest tool in the box, as I said earlier. But yeah, fair enough. That was pretty good.
Now, there's one person we haven't discussed who's still in it. I mean, we don't need to say much about Richard Madeley, except that
he was in it.
Was there any point to that? He came in. He tried to be nice to everyone. They didn't really think he was a young woman called Judy.
No.
Partly because very sharply they all said Judy's not a name that a young girl would have in this era. How many Judys do you know who are in their 20s?
None.
It's an unfashionable old name. And then they told him, because he wasn't allowed to win it, being Richard Madeley, that he had to get himself kicked off. So he had to start being nasty. In fact, at one point, he was so nasty that Tim said she's brought evil into the circus.
Which I liked.
And he got himself blocked. Now, what was the point of all that?
Well, what he did bring into the circle, which was a crime, was that awful highlighted sun-in type hair that he had from the 80s.
We'll talk about this in a minute, because some of the young folks' knowledge of stuff. Why should they know about ancient people? But there was a brilliant line from Georgina, who I think is 21. And when someone mentioned Richard and Judy, she said, "Oh, aren't they puppets?"
And she had to be told that was Punch and Judy. Which is superb. And also someone half got it right. Someone said Richard Madison, I think, didn't they?
But there's a massive lack of knowledge, which is amusing if you're our age, but there's no reason why they should not. I quite like Georgina because she's the one who had Crohn's disease and talks about her ileostomy bag and all that. And obviously she's been through a lot. And one of the best lines came out of this. I don't know if you noticed it. Early on, when she was telling everyone about this, someone went, "Oh, I respect her so much. She's been through so much shit." That must be the best unintentional pun in the whole thing.
But maybe they were just throwing a bit of shade.
Yeah, that's the one bit of lingo I hadn't heard before this. Okay. Turns out it means insulting someone, but in a sort of sideways way. I think it's brilliant. I just read a definition of it today. The art of the sidelong insult.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good. I've got all the lingo.
Have you?
Yeah, I know it all, mate. It's sick.
Well, I knew what shade was.
the other thing that I thought was funny was when Josh said to Brooke, Brooke's been kicked out now.
Yeah.
And she sent a message and she called her U with the letter U. And Brooke went, "Oh, that's so disappointing." She used U as a single letter. So that must be out of fashion now, mate.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to knock that on the head then.
You remember that.
Yeah, I will do, yeah. I don't want to upset Brooke, obviously.
Otherwise, she'll be coming like the feds for you. another good line that came from horror thing. But I've been quite okay with the lingo, and amazingly, when Ella came in and said she loved CFC, nobody knew what it meant.
Well, that was totally bizarre.
Yeah. Young, old, in between, they didn't have a clue.
Well, also, when they were doing that, you know, it was like the trip down memory lane. I mean, I just don't know how you wouldn't know what the fall of the Berlin Wall was all about.
Oh, come on. I mean, we're going back to like Jack, who is a bit of a mimble. He didn't know what vivacious meant. He just didn't know basic language. Some of it was understandably muddled up. Like, Georgina thought that Thatcher was someone who gave out free milk to school children.
Which was ironic.
But it was funny that more people remembered David Hasselhoff
yes.
on the Berlin Wall than actually about the Berlin Wall. It's hard to say. I mean, they're playing Joyce and they had to talk. They were forced to talk about John Lennon's death and they didn't do too badly. They couldn't name the year because why would they have a clue? They at least knew he'd been shot outside his apartment block and all that.
I was quite impressed with that.
Yeah, they just keep getting almost found out. And then they'll say something idiotic and they go, "Oh, I'm pleased with that, we get away with that one." While everyone else is sitting in the rooms going, "That doesn't sound
very fishy."
If they go back and think about it, the key to Joyce is that she didn't, when they were given drinks and asked what they were.
Sherry.
She didn't know what sherry was. Now, surely if you're a woman in your 60s, you're going to know what sherry is.
Aren't you just stereotyping, Robin?
Everyone drank sherry of that generation.
I think every single woman in Britain did, didn't they?
Yeah.
What was it, the green bottle? What was it called?
Oh, Croft?
Croft's original was a light sherry.
Was it?
But it was it was in a green bottle. I think even we had a bottle of it here in this house.
I'm not a great sherry drinker. I mean, I always remember when we went to Spain and people were going like in Seville, "Oh, you must drink the sherry in Seville." I'm going, "Why? It's still sherry."
Well, wasn't sherry about the last thing at a party when you were a teenager? If there was nothing else left, you'd have some sherry.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Culture, isn't it? Culture if you drink it in Seville. Even though to them it's like Carling. Anyway, get back to the point.
Go on.
Compare this to series one. It's completely different. That people are more savvy in this series.
Yeah, I mean, they've had the benefit of it coming out, you know, this is the second series and all the rest of it, so it's like everything, it evolves. And they've also been sharper about it, like Woody having to do the face-to-face blocking is just genius, don't you?
There's been loads of great little twists like that. But I'm talking about the characters. In series one, as you well remember, there was a terrible, sympathetic character called Dan.
Dan!
Who kind of gradually fell in love with the eventual winner, Kate, who was actually a bloke called Alex. And when they met face to face at the end, there was a horrible moment where you thought it might get violent because he was so angry.
He was destroyed.
Well, I've never heard of him since.
No, I think he's gone to live on his own in some island somewhere, you know, just have to escape.
He's probably still recovering. But
in therapy.
You know, they're much, much more... No one's as vulnerable as Dan here, are they? And I get the impression, supposing even if it's someone else and Sammy, and then they meet him and find out it's him and not a single mother, I don't think you'll get that sort of disappointment or devastation this time, do you?
No, they're all a bit more savvy about it. They know the whole idea about catfishing. They know that some people are in here playing a game and it's not to go there and find love, which poor old Dan seemed to think. I don't know why he got involved romantically with, what was her name?
Yeah.
Kate. It was very bizarre. And we haven't had a, although I do miss Freddie a little bit, he was a bit jarring as well.
There's no one quite so annoying, although Ella's quite shouty and annoying and they don't know that. So,
yeah.
Mind you, they're all a bit like that. So it wouldn't matter. Also, I've noticed the sort of way they interact is like they think they've got to know each other after a few messages, which is why the show's a fantastic reflection of reality, because people do now on social media, don't they? They form friendships based on a few kind of paragraphs. The way they chat is kind of, they don't seem to have to hear much to think they know someone.
Absolutely. And the other thing that this shows brilliantly is how people misinterpret or don't get the nuances of conversation. So one person will be sending out a series of messages to somebody else, thinking it's going really well, while the other person is totally on a different track. And that whole miscommunication is quite interesting when you don't see the other person's face or you don't interact with them.
I did notice that Sammy's very good at keeping up the pretense of being the single mum. I mean, she gave someone a compliment at one point and then he went, people don't forget shit like that. And it's all like, but talking about Sammy, she also said, I feel a bit shit being a catfish when people come on here with real problems. And he said that because one of the contestants is Paddy, who's disabled. And
yeah,
that's throwing a whole new twist on the thing because everyone else is under suspicion. But there's no way he can be catfishing. A, no one would do that. And B, they wouldn't be allowed to anyway, would they? It would be pushing it too far. I mean, there's already been arguments about the implications of gay people coming on and playing it straight and stuff like that, which I can't be arsed to get into. But
no.
But with Paddy, right, no one would do that. No one would pretend to be that disabled. He came on, Paddy, and he didn't let on at first, and it was quite touching because he basically said, I'm not going to let people know immediately. So that's the other side of not being judged for your appearance. He said, I've never had the opportunity for people to get to know me without seeing my disability first.
Yeah.
And I think that was definitely put a whole different spin on the whole thing.
That is true, but if you were cynical like me, it would be whenever you used to watch these sort of like X Factor voice type things, just where when they're on the verge of things not going well, you know, the song's not been hitting the right notes, so to speak, they start chucking in the stuff about, and of course I'm doing this all for my, you know, my 3-year-old daughter who is having a lot of health problems at home, and we're a single family and all this sort of stuff, just chucking any old mud at the wall for sympathy.
Yeah, that doesn't really work in here because it's not a public vote. That's the other thing. What you forget as it goes along is that in the end it will eventually be decided on how popular they are within the circle, which is why I think Tim will get the boot tonight, Sean.
Okay.
Because if Woody's got any sense, and he has, he's the smartest kid in there, and he's got this big diagram on his wall, hasn't he?
Yes.
Him and Georgina have got like Vera-style whiteboards with all the clues on them. It's fantastic. And I think if he's got any sense, he'll get rid of Tim because Tim's a massive threat. He won't get rid of Ella because they're great mates and they both love their music and their festivals. Who do you think he'll boot out?
You see, I think he's too nice to boot Tim out. I think he's going to boot Joyce out.
Okay. Tim or Joyce then?
Yeah. If I was him, I would... It would either be Ella or Tim.
But you think he's going to boot Joyce? Joyce isn't a threat. What you want to do is, at this stage, is get rid of the people who might win it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but I just don't think he can do it. I don't think he's got the killer instinct.
Well, then he won't win the show, will he?
Well, that's the problem. But then does he need 100 grand?
Well, anyway, who do you think's actually going to win?
Ella.
Because we've got to wrap this up. You know what? I've got a sneaky feeling that Sammy, the fake single mom, might win it.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Both of them are good bets if you can get a couple of grand on at 5 or 6.
Yeah, you'd definitely be catfishing there. Do you think that he could fly under the radar?
I think they all kind of want him to be her, even though they're not convinced it is.
Okay, that's interesting psychologically.
I think that Woody, Tim and Ella might start striking each other out if they get the chance, because they know they're the most popular three in the thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got a dark horse coming up on the rails.
Oh, by the way, do you think, you know when a contestant is kicked out and they're allowed to go and visit one of the others before they leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the way they show it, they all look round. Do you think someone goes round all the apartments knocking on everyone's door?
It's like the circle equivalent of Knockdown Ginger.
They must do, because they all look round, terrified.
Yeah, exactly. Which also reminded me of Dan, because Dan always, in last series, would prepare a little meal and some champagne for the person who was being blocked, and they would never go to his gaff, and he was always crestfallen, wasn't he?
Poor old Dan. That's the human cost of the circle, mate. Never mind Love Island contestants killing himself. What's Dan done to himself?
I think he's in a padded cell somewhere having therapy.
With aubergine emojis over the wall. I haven't seen many of them in this one. I've only seen one. Must be out of date. Out of time, in fact, like us.
Okay.
Because we've gone on about the circle far too long. If we keep going on much longer, the next episode will be starting.
I'm looking forward to it.
When we come back next week, which we will do, hopefully, we might do a little recap on this, because it'll all be over by then. We can see how bad our judgment has been. But in the meantime...
Didn't you do better than me last year?
Yeah, I did. Much better. You were obsessed with Dan.
I was obsessed with Dan. I was.
You didn't. You let it cloud your judgment of the competition.
Totally.
Anyway, let's not cloud anything any further. And let's say thanks for listening.
Yep.
And we'll be back hopefully next week. Sorry, there's been a bit of a gap the last time. And see you soon.
Good.
No, we won't see you. We'll be talking to you soon.
Cheers, thanks for listening.
Bye for now.